It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm hosting solo today. My co-host Veronica Rickert is off for the holiday. Coming up, the key to leadership lies in cultivating virtue, according to our next guest. First, Thanksgiving traditionally kicks off the charitable giving season, and our next guest has some advice and inspiration for us. Lisa Dietlin is a philanthropy expert and author of Making a Difference, 365 Tips, Ideas, and Stories to Change Your World. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for taking some time out of your holiday to join us. I appreciate it.
You know, I was actually telling Amanda I've escaped my family to do this, and I love it because it's a little bit quiet, avoiding the chaos of, and you got me out of, you know, meal preparation, so I love it.
Oh, good, good. Well, that means you're going to get stuck with dishes, though, so it's going to come out in the wash.
It does. It always does, doesn't it, Rob?
Yeah. Well, today's Thanksgiving. Tomorrow's Black Friday. A lot of people are thinking about shopping now, but it's also the kickoff of the giving season. You say there are some ways we can combine the two. How can we shop with charity in mind?
Oh, it absolutely is. There's many ways that you can shop with charity in mind. What most people don't realize, Rob, is that, you know, in these last 2 months of the year, 80% of the nonprofits raise 50% of their budget. And that's absolutely astounding. Here we all are waiting to the last 2 months when we're crazy busy with all the activities with family and holiday. But, you know, things that we do normally, like shopping, can incorporate a charitable component. For example, you know, many of us are sometimes repelled by the crowds at Black Friday, but I say take that money that you were going to donate to charity and maybe go in and either pool it with family members or friends and shop for charity. Instead of shopping for yourself, get those deals for charity. For instance, there's nonprofits that need coats for kids, or socks is a big item for many people. It's a key to good health, and especially good foot health for people that might be homeless or might have, you know, trouble getting clothing for themselves. So you could pool your money together and say, you know, instead of getting the deals for ourselves, we're going to get them for a nonprofit that needs a microwave oven, that needs a coffee pot. You know, there's a new domestic violence shelter opening in Chicago, the first one in 10 years. And, you know, they're going to need all sorts of items for those moms with kids that come into the shelter seeking, you know, a place of peace and comfort and also a little bit of home.
So you can still take advantage of those deals and have, I guess, the fun if you're the kind of person who finds shopping fun, but do it for a good cause. I am not that kind of person, by the way.
Neither am I. I was recoiling a bit this afternoon. My sister-in-law loves to go into the store shopping, and we were in, and she goes, I have to go back. This meal is just blowing my shopping.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at her. So she is one of those people, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But another thing that my mom and I like to do, instead of going to the big stores, we like to go to the thrift stores. So most thrift stores are run by nonprofit organizations. So you think about, we know about Goodwill and Salvation Army, but many, you know, animal shelters have thrift stores. I worked with a group out in New Mexico that had one called What the Cat Drug In. You know, looked what the cat drug in. And that was their thrift store. And you can find some really unique items there. We actually found for that same sister-in-law some champagne flutes that, you know, over the years had been broken, and they were hand-painted and from France, and we weren't allowed to use them anymore because we had broken them over the years.
You keep breaking them, right.
Right, and then my mom and I found some that absolutely matched that set in a thrift store. And so it's sort of, you know, you're putting on a different hat and saying, you know what, I'm going to recycle, I'm going to be green, we're going to reuse, I'm going to shop at a thrift store affiliated with a nonprofit organization. And so in many ways, you're supporting that nonprofit while still participating in the Black Friday, but maybe not in the mainstream stores. Another idea I'd share is the layaway angels. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago when the economy got really bad, Rob, stores, first of all, Kmart and then Walmart and others, started reinstituting the layaway model, where you would pick out items and lay them away, paying a little bit on them each week, each month, in the hope that by the holiday, you would have paid it off so you could get those items out of layaway. And some people just never turn for them in the time between when they put it in layaway and the holidays. And people took advantage of that and said, you know what, I'm going to be a layaway angel. I'm going to go in and say, I want to put $50, $100 on a layaway for someone so that they have a nice holiday. And
wow,
my family actually did that last year. And my brother was in charge, and he went. And the first store, they didn't have anything. But the second store he went to, It was a Kmart, and they said, absolutely, we have a layaway. And he said, could you find one with kids' toys in it? And the clerk did. And so we put money toward their layaway, and the clerk was so excited. She said, I know this family. I know they're going to be just amazed that somebody came in and paid off their layaway. And this was on Christmas Eve. So they had a really nice holiday because of what we did. And we don't know them, and they don't know us, but we paid it forward.
Hmm. Now, getting back to the idea of shopping for a charity, is there a way to make sure they actually need what you're giving them? I assume a lot of charities would hate to have a bunch of unnecessary stuff showing up at their door.
That's a great question. Yes, there is a way to find out. Obviously, you know, many nonprofits list their items, their wish list items on their website. They list, you know, what they need. Do they need coffee makers or microwaves or sheets or coats or jackets or jeans or, you know, pants for young kids? They actually list those items either for the clients they serve or maybe for the nonprofit themselves, that they're trying to save money budgetarily and that all the dollars raised in this time actually goes to the programs and that the overhead is covered by individuals providing those items. It could be coffee, it could be, you know, reams of paper or what have you for the office. But there are ways. If it's not on their website, pick up the phone and call and ask, you know. And I would call places like, you know, the Boys and Girls Club. I would call Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you know, organizations, you know, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, you know, especially in this time where we want to make sure that everybody's taken care of. I would also look at the senior centers. I'd look at those organizations affiliated with military personnel that sometimes are so overlooked in our country but have done such a tremendous amount of service. You know, call your local veterans hospital or call the DAV or the Veterans of Foreign Wars or the American Legion. Call those social clubs and see what's going on. Oftentimes, too, your Rotaries and Kiwanis in your community are doing something. So, yes, you don't want to buy a bunch of unwanted things, but you can make it a pretty safe bet if you're buying, you know, things that children need, meaning coats and boots and snow pants and mittens and hats and clothing, and finding the right children's organization or organization that focuses on helping children, you could make a difference.
A famous one, of course, is Toys for Tots. Can you talk about that a little?
Toys for Tots is a fabulous organization. It's been around, you know, about 65 years, and it has given almost to 200 million children, Rob, 400 million toys. And it's absolutely a fabulous program. It's also supplemented by the Toys for Tots Foundation. So if you're not in the mood to go out tomorrow and shop for the toys and, you know, purchase something and donate it to one of the barrels or actually take it to one of the offices, you can make a financial donation. Our First Lady right now, Michelle Obama, has been a chairperson for a number of years, and they're raising lots of money. Actually, last year they raised more money than the year before. So I think we all realize at this time of year that it's important to give back and to help others. And this is a way that even with your family members and your young children, you know, teaching them philanthropy, teaching the next generation what it means to give back to others is so important. And this might be a fun activity that, you know, have them go and pick out their favorite game and say, now we're going to give it to somebody who might not get this game, who might not have access to these types of toys like you do. And teaching them that gift of philanthropy would be a wonderful, wonderful gift that you would leave, a wonderful legacy.
We're talking to philanthropy expert Lisa Dietlin about charitable giving at holiday time and throughout the year. And you can join in. Where and how do you make donations of money or stuff? Or maybe you volunteer to help a nonprofit or other organization. Do something with your kids or your family or an organization to try to make the world a better place by helping people out. Call us and tell us about it. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send an email, talk@WPR.org. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. We continue our conversation now with philanthropy expert Lisa Dietlin, talking about charitable giving, charitable service, now during the holidays and throughout the year. You can join in. Who do you like to give money to? Is there an organization you'd like to put a plug in for? Who do you volunteer for? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email, talk@WPR.org. We'll get to your calls in just a few minutes. Lisa, first of all, though, let's talk about hunger. That's certainly on a lot of people's minds on this very food-based holiday.
It is. You know, what surprises me, Rob, is that we think so much about it in the November and December time frame, and yet people are hungry in April, people are hungry in August, people are hungry in September. I think it's wonderful that people think about it now, but I'd really love to see them think about it every day of the year. And hunger in America looks different. First of all, there are almost 50 million Americans hungry. That means out of the six homes on your street, one of them has hunger in their house, and it looks different. It's the mom who waters down the milk to make it last longer. It's the dad who skips a meal or two so that his children can eat. It's the child who never gets a second helping because there's not enough food to go around. And it's somewhat masked in our obesity epidemic here in this country because people think, well, everyone's overweight, so we must not have a hunger problem. Well, that's more of a nutrition problem. That's more of a what types of food we're eating. And we need to think about those that are hungry all year long.
So what's the best way to help out now and around the year?
Well, I think the best way to help out is to make a financial donation. What most people don't realize is that food banks have 4 to 6 times the buying power that an individual does. You know, a lot of us last weekend when we were shopping for our holiday meal thought, well, I'll buy an extra turkey or I'll buy an extra meal, you know, some fixings. I'll buy the stuffing and the green beans and all that, and I'll donate it to my favorite food pantry or food bank. And that's great. And I wouldn't discourage that if that's what you want to do with your family, especially your young children, to teach them. But really, that $40 or $50 that you spent in the store, if you had made that a financial donation, the food bank would have been able to buy 4 to 6 times that amount of food. So you think a $50 donation would mean $200 to $300 worth of food because of their relationships with food vendors and distributors and food manufacturers. So if you're inclined to donate food, I always say donate the food that you like. Don't clean out your pantry of the things you don't like or you aren't going to eat or you don't know what to do with, because most likely that the people receiving it aren't going to like it, aren't going to know what to do with it either. So donate things that you like, that you think others like. Protein is really needed in the food bank. So peanut butter, tuna fish, beef jerky, thinking about protein items as well as fruits and vegetables. I love recommending fresh fruits and vegetables, especially at this time of year. Food banks have gotten smarter. They've got refrigerators and freezers, and they know how to handle the food. But canned will also work to donate those types of items. And if you're not inclined to go and do that, you know, in the shopping melee that's going to take place tomorrow, make a financial contribution. FeedingAmerica.org is the parent organization of more than 200 food banks. Every county in this country is covered. And if you go to feedingamerica.org, put in your zip code, put in your state, your local food bank will come up.
We're talking to Lisa Dietlin about holiday giving and being a philanthropist all year round. And we're taking your stories at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Who do you like to give money to? Is there an organization you do philanthropic work with, a Rotary, a Kiwanis, that sort of thing? Tell us about it. 800-642-1234. We've got Mike in Burlington on the line. Mike, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's your story?
Well, I'm a member of a ham radio club.
All right.
And we do volunteer weather spotting for the National Weather Service. We also supply communications support for a lot of big gatherings like the Wisconsin Marathon, the Fall Color Festival mountain bike race, the Walworth County Get Fit 5K in spring. And we also do a thing called Kids Day in January to get kids to know a little bit about ham radio.
All right. And, Mike, I got to know before I let you go, what's your call sign?
NX9A, November X-ray 9 Alpha.
Is it on your license plate? That's what my dad does. He's a ham radio guy. All right. Mike, thank you so much. So what a great thing, Lisa,
Mike.
Combining his hobby with charitable work there, with service work.
I think that is just the best way to go about it. If you are really passionate about something, if you can incorporate a charitable part of it, that is wonderful. And so thank you, Mike, so much for what you do to give back. And that's another thing. You know, on Thanksgiving, we are worried about the retail folks at the Walmarts and the Kmarts having to work on Thanksgiving. But think about the first responders, the policemen and the firemen that are always working on these holidays, the hospital workers. Perhaps there's something you could do for them. Perhaps there's some way that you could give back in your community to your first responders that Mike is helping through communication, but perhaps you can find a way to help too.
Mike, thank you so much. And now Jan is with us in Amherst. Jan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I got my inspiration for giving from my yoga instructor. In the summer, she teaches yoga right by her lake. And just to request a minimum donation, and at the end of the year, she donates all the money to Children's Network. And that got me to thinking, well, you know, what are my gifts and how can I make that happen? So I know how to sew. So whenever anybody asks me to alter something, I charge $10 an hour. It goes to my favorite charity. And right now I'm making felted wool mittens and the proceeds will go to my favorite charity. So, you know, at this time, not all of us have a lot of extra cash to give to people or give to places, but think about what your gifts are and how you might use those to raise money in your small way.
Jan, thank you so much. Thanks for what you're doing, first of all, and thanks for calling in. Again, Lisa, somebody doing what she loves and finding out a way to help charity at the same time.
I applaud you, Jan. Thank you so much for doing that. I know a couple that live in the hardwoods in northeast Michigan, and they harvest, you know, the sap from the trees and make maple syrup. And every year they pick a charity. And when you come to purchase the maple syrup to get a quart or a pint of maple syrup, they have you actually make your payment out, or they collect the cash for that local charity. So I just love these examples, whether it's Mike, whether it's Jan, whether it's my friends in Northeast Michigan, using things that are right at their disposal. You know, and if you don't have a talent or you think, gosh, I don't have, there's nothing I do. You know, I'm a financial advisor, or I work as an accountant. I don't know how I could give back. There's many ways, and we could talk about those. But the other thing you could also do is, you know, collect a jar all year long of your loose change. And at the end of the year, donate that to your favorite charity. All of us have loose change, you know, when we go to the store. Just set a special jar aside, and at the end of the year, that could be your charitable contribution.
Great. And I noticed online, it's people are coming together. I've seen big donations made by Harry Potter fan clubs. I've made donations through board game fans. I'm a big nerd in that way. And these affinity groups, I guess, are getting together and saying, hey, what can we do to give back? Is that a trend you're seeing?
It is. People are coming together. We call them in the philanthropy world giving circles, where people come together either formally or informally and pool their resources and say, okay, what can we do? And it's not about how much each person can give. It's about everybody participating. You know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts sometimes. And in this case, the whole would be, meaning whatever the financial end up being the contribution, other than this person gave 20, this person was able to do 10, this person was able to give 5. Well, in the end, it's $35. It's $35 towards something that otherwise you wouldn't have had the opportunity to come together and choose and have a discussion. You know, one of the things I always say about hunger, at this particular meal at Thanksgiving, and some people may have already had their meal, and some people might be having family all together all weekend, but I say set an empty plate at the table. Set an empty plate for the person who doesn't have a meal today, and have a discussion around the table. Start the discussion about how we should give back, why we should give back, and what's important, and about hunger in our country, or ways that we could use our talent, how people end up in a situation where they might not know where their next meal is coming from. Just starting the conversation, Rob, will change people's hearts and directions, and people will get involved.
Another caller now, Linda in Madison. Linda, hi.
Hi. I'm low income, and I work long hours during the week, and the weekends are for me to get errands done. But whenever I can, I donate blood to the Red Cross, and that way I'm giving something that's needed, but it doesn't cost me anything extra in time or money, and I can do it all year round.
Linda, thank you so much, and you're inspiring me. I'm way overdue for my donation. And Lisa,
me too.
We are almost out of time, and I didn't want to get away without a mention of Giving Tuesday. Just in a minute or so, what is Giving Tuesday?
Giving Tuesday is an effort by the philanthropic world to coalesce around this holiday weekend, this shopping weekend. You know, we have Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and for the second year in a row, Giving Tuesday. And many organizations participated last year. It's an inaugural year. Many more are participating this year. And it's an effort to say, all right, we have a big shopping day for all the major retailers. We have Small Business Shopping Day. We have online. Why don't we make there be one day, the first Tuesday following Black Friday in December, November, and have all the charities raise as much money as they can. And many raise a lot more money online in that single day than they did the rest of the month on any day. So I really encourage people to look at your favorite nonprofit. They've got some amazing things going on. There's a couple that I know are releasing apps, and you can download the app and watch fun videos, and they've got deals with different vendors, and it's really unique, and it's taking off like wildfire. So check your favorite nonprofit, what they're doing on Giving Tuesday.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great meal now. That was Lisa Dietlin, philanthropy expert and author of Making a Difference, 365 Tips, Ideas, and Stories to Change Your World. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.